of you in the pew. We want to make sure we get record of your visit. And so if you'll open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, I want to introduce to you the theme for the year. Somebody asked, is there going to be a theme this year? Absolutely. And I'm going to tell you about it this morning. Hebrews chapter number 11. Now, what a wonderful time of year this is. It's the beginning of a new year. It's a fresh year. We're thankful that God has given us the beginning of the year to do this, to reset and to refocus. And I pray that's what you're doing, resetting and refocusing on what's important. And I say this, it's the Lord. We ought to reset and refocus on the Lord. I'm excited because it's the first service of the year. My greatest trouble will be this, trying to remember to write 2026 on the documents that I signed. How many say amen to that, Pastor James? Matter of fact, I was writing my tithe check, and guess what I did? I put 2025, but, you know, if you take 25 and you just fill in the little squirrely part there, then you have 26 and you're okay. And so I did that, and everything was just fine. But it normally takes us a little while for us to get that in our mind, doesn't it, 2026? And as we think about the brand new year, I've been considering and praying about what the Lord would have us to emphasize. And that's really what it's about. We're going to emphasize something out of the scriptures. And I came to this passage of scripture in Hebrews chapter number 11. And I'd like to introduce to you this theme. And I'm going to give you the title of the theme right now. Listen carefully. Faithful Christianity. Faithful Christianity. You know, I pray as we think about that, as we consider that this year, that it will yield great spiritual growth in the life of us individually, but also the life of this local New Testament church. Did you know this, that a local church is only as spiritual as the sum total of its members? I'm going to say that again. A local New Testament church is only as spiritual as the sum total of all its members. And the measurement of any local church is this. It's not the local church down the street. Sometimes we get that way. We compare ourselves against oneself. And by the way, the Bible says that's unwise for us to do that. But the true measurement for any local church is its likeness to the Lord Jesus. Our true measurement is how close are we to our Savior. You see, you and I as a Christian ought to measure ourselves by Christ. And therefore, because we measure ourselves by Christ, any local church ought to be measured by Christ as well. See, we're joined to Him. We're one. We're one with our Lord. Our Lord spoke great things about oneness in John chapter 17 in His high priestly prayer for you and I. And this morning, I want us to set in our minds this idea, the importance of faith. Full Christianity. Let's begin reading in Hebrews chapter 11, and let's stand for the reading of God's word. We'll look here in verse number 1 down through verse number 6, and you'll follow along in your Bible, please. The word of God says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, for by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You'll notice he pleased God. Now notice the very next verse in verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Would you just consider this in this new year? Faith. Full Christianity. And would you mark and pay attention very carefully to what God says in verse number 6. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that this local church would be known is a church that is full of faith. I pray, Lord, each and every member of this church would be walking by faith. Lord, I pray we would connect that into every part of our lives daily that would be full of faith. Father, you've told us in your word, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so I pray, Lord, that we would be moved to trust you even more this morning. And Father, I realize that there could be someone here that never exercised personal trusting faith in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, this would be the day that they trust in Christ and become a child of God, having trusted in the Lord Jesus and what he did for them on the cross of Calvary. I pray there'd be one here that'd be full of faith this morning. And Father, would you challenge us in this matter? Everything that we do, that'll be an exercise of faith. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. We ask these things in your son's name. Amen. You may be seated. How many of us, if I raise a hand this morning, can tell me what the Bible means when it says the word impossible? How many say, I know what that means, Pastor James? Raise your hand. Some of you know what the word impossible means. I'm worried about the rest of you. But listen, by definition, the word impossible means this: something that cannot be. Something that cannot be. That's pretty definitive, isn't it? That's pretty straightforward, is it not? The word that's used here in our Greek, in the Greek text, is the word adunados. And it means exactly how it's translated here. It means impossible. It means weak. It means helpless. It means without power. It's a word that's related to the word power, but because it has that word, that letter A in front of it, it gives the opposite of the meaning of the entire word when you put the A before it. And so the example I'd give you is the word atheist. A theist is one who believes in God. When you put the word A in front of it, that's someone who says no God, right? And so it's the same with this Greek word. It's the word for power, but we put the word A in front of it, and it means powerless or impossible. And so we think about this. For a moment, in the context of the life of a Christian, we are powerless Christians without faith. I want you to listen. We're powerless without faith. Think of it in the context of a local church. Now, we're talking about individuals, but now we think of collectively Liberty Baptist Church. And I'm here to tell you as a preacher of the gospel that as a local church, we are powerless without faith in Christ. The opposite of that statement, by the way, is so true. With faith, it is possible to please him. With faith, it's possible to move forward in the power of God, but it must be by faith. I want you to consider the importance of this subject this morning and think of it, how it's bearing upon our Christian life and bearing upon the life of this local church. In fact, this matter of faith is so vitally important, I tell you, it has eternal consequences. You say, how so? Well, the Bible says, for by grace, through faith, we are saved. For by grace, we are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so everyone, I want you to understand this morning, has faith. Everyone. Even the atheist that comes and claims no God, they have faith. Why you and I exercise faith this very day when we walked into this building, you say, how so, Pastor James? Well, do you know this, that there was a builder one day who built this building? How about that? In fact, I just uncovered in my office, I was looking at it, the original foundation plan. We've got it in there. And I opened that thing up, and boy, the ink is so old on that thing, you can't hardly tell what is on there. But it said this, on February 9th, 1962, the foundation's plan was put together here for Liberty Baptist Church. How many here say they know exactly who the builder was? I'm sure there's one. But nobody else that came into this building. Did you ever meet the builder? Did you ever know the folks that put up the joists and the 2x4s and all the plaster here? not one of us, we had faith when we walked in that this structure would not collapse upon itself, didn't we? We understood that. As a matter of fact, you came in, you sat right down, and I'm noticing that y'all have particular seats. And I'm starting to figure that out, where certain people sit in different places. Now, I didn't see any nameplates on any seats, but y'all know and we know, and you just sit in certain places. But you know what? You went to your favorite seat, and you went and you just sat right down in that pew. You were trusting that that pew would hold you up. The wood, the metal, the engineering of that pew was designed just right to hold your weight, was it not? While if you look to the left and right, go ahead, look to the left and right. Go ahead, it's okay, there is somebody next to you. Boy, I don't want you to count how many people are on the pew there, but imagine adding up the weight. Now, don't guess your neighbor's weight, you'll get in trouble. But you add up that weight there and think about how much faith you're exercising in that pew that you're sitting in right now. We're, somebody said, oh my. I'm here to tell you, we're not just talking about faith in general, though. See, all men have faith, but all men do not have biblical faith. And what I mean by that is faith that's based on the very Word of God. Faith that is looking unto Jesus, as it says in Romans chapter 12, the author and the finisher of our faith. You see, the entire Bible, from cover to cover, you say, Pastor James, what's it about? Could you walk me through it? Absolutely. It's all about Jesus. It all centers around Him. It all points to Him. And the object of biblical faith must be the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the way, listen carefully, is called the Word. The Word. And so look down with me in verse numbers 32 through 38 for just a second to see how important this matter of faith is. In verse 32 of this chapter, it says, and what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell me of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. Notice what they did. Being empowered by God. Who through faith did what? Subdued kingdoms. Wrought righteousness. Obtained promises. Stop the mouths of lions, quench the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned the flight of the armies of the aliens. Notice verse 35, women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain of the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth, and all these, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. Friend, this matter of faith is everything. Your trust in God, your reliance upon the Lord, it's everything. I want to give you several points if you write them down. Number one, you wonder about faith. Biblical faith is in the unseen. Biblical faith is in the unseen. Notice in verse number one, of the text, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, you see it there, the evidence of things not seen. Biblical faith is in the unseen, what cannot be seen. We consider the object of our faith, the Lord Jesus. We understand that not one of us here present today saw the events that were declared to us in the Word of God. Not one of us. We have this book, the Bible, the Word, and not one of us were present for the events that are declared to us in the Bible. It's a requirement, therefore, I want you to listen, to approach the Scriptures, here's how, by faith. As we consider this matter of biblical faith, I want you to understand about biblical faith that it is essential to the Christian life. It's essential to the Christian life. Friends, without biblical faith, it's impossible to please God. In fact, it's impossible to be reconciled to God without biblical faith. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." See, this is a sad result of sin, starting way back when, from the Garden of Eden, a broken relationship and a severed fellowship from God. How do we know this? Well, we know because it's recorded for us in the Word of God. I can take you to the account. It's in Genesis chapter 3. And as we move forward from Genesis 3, that great falling chapter where men turned from God, disbelieved God, went the other way, we get to chapter number 5. And we read of person after person who suffered the sad result of the wages of sin, which is death. Oh, how do we know the wages of sin? Well, because it's written in the Word of God, Genesis 2, verse 17, God speaking, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." We fast forward to the New Testament scriptures, probably one of the clearest passages in the Bible, tells us in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." How do we know all this? Well, again, the scriptures tell us faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What are you trying to say? I'm just trying to tell you here this morning that faith is essential to the Christian life. You cannot be a Christian without believing the Bible. You cannot please God, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. Not only is faith essential to the Christian life, but would you understand this? It is the evidence of that which is unseen. Now you see it there in verse number 1. Again, if you'll look again, now the faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You know, I could present to you so many evidences in the Bible in the form of what we call apologetics. And that simply means contending for the faith. Contending for the faith. I could give you so many apologetics. I've had folks ask me in sincerity and in truth, "How do you know the Bible is true? How do you know?" I could speak about the validity of scriptures. I could tell you the Bible has so many recorded manuscripts. And by the way, this is 100% true, that agree one with another, that it's unlike by a far shot any other document in all of human history. I could tell you by the testimony of the Word of God, a fulfilled prophecy, that the numerical impossibility of such fulfillment is astounding. Why, if you just took 8 prophecies concerning the birth, life, death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ being fulfilled by one man in history as foretold in the scriptures, it's a statistical impossibility for it to be by chance. You know what fills in the gap of science? What science could never figure out is believing the Word of God. You'll notice with me in verse number 3, notice it in the text, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. It's so very interesting. I try to keep up on what's going on, and the whole world is constantly trying to figure out how it is that this galaxy came to be of ours. In fact, it's so interesting. They'll build a giant telescope, and they'll send it up into space, and they'll peer into space, and they believe this: if I can see a light far enough away, that'll transport me back in time, since I know light travels at a particular rate. And what they fail to realize is simply this, that those who are without faith, without belief, have that answer sitting right in front of them in the scriptures, in the Word of God. It's declared right here that I don't have to send a telescope into space. I already know how this world came to be. It's recorded for me. See, friend, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Really, it boils down to this, and here's the bottom line in all of this. Are you going to believe God, or are you going to believe man? That's really, when you get down to the brass tacks, as they say, the very bottom question, the question is this: are you going to trust the Lord, or are you going to believe the devil? You see, faith is in the unseen. This is not Pastor James' chosen method. This is God's chosen method whereby men can be reconciled to him. It's not seeing is believing. That expression is often said, oh, seeing is believing. And friends, can I tell you, that's not of God, that's of the devil. Idolatry is steeped in being able to see something. You see, that's why someone would take a stump and they would take a device and they would cut it up and they would make an image and they would fall down to that image. Why? Because they say, if I could just see something, then I'll believe. See, faith is not seeing, is believing. That's idolatry. Faith is hearing God and taking him at his word. What has God already said? Well, I want you to understand biblical faith is in the unseen, number two. If you're taking notes, biblical faith is not unusual. It's not unusual. Notice in verse number two, it says this, for by it, speaking about faith, the elders obtained a good report. These elders, those spiritual leaders of times past, those who have gone on before us, and the ones who even are presently with us, have obtained a good report. How? The Bible tells us, by faith. Now, they have a good report. How many would be willing to admit by raise a hand this morning that at times when report card time came about, you didn't want your parents to see it? Raise your hand. Say amen. You know, I'll have to admit as a preacher of the gospel that many times I did some nefarious things with my report card. I didn't want them to see it. I was ashamed about what I had done, or rather I should say what I hadn't done. I did all right. I averaged B's most of the time. Occasionally I'd get a C. But the trouble was not that I could not comprehend. It was I did not care. And friend, I'm here to declare to you this morning that I care about you. I care about you. I care about the report card of faith for your life. I care about whether or not you have faith in the Lord or do not. You see, biblical faith is not unusual. Many think about faith, believe, trust in God as something that's only for a small, select group of folks. It's not accessible to everyone, just those who are the ultra spiritual. In fact, I just came into this church house today, boy, I would have had to come at least to 20 services to have biblical faith, thinking that in their minds, because it's so elusive. But I'll tell you just the opposite. You see, there's a whole record in this book, in this Bible, of men and women all down through thousands of years who lived their lives just trusting in the Lord. We could go all the way to the very beginning after the fall of man. We see a man by the name of Abel exercise faith in the Lord. Notice there in verse number 4, at the very beginning, it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. We could continue even through this chapter. So many examples given, person after person after person, who did what? They just trusted God. They lived by faith. What you understand this morning, faith in the Lord is not some mystical, mysterious, unobtainable thing only for select that walk into this world, but rather what's being taught here in the scriptures is the exact opposite. I already mentioned to you that you exercise faith all the time. The question becomes this for you this morning: will you trust Jesus Christ? as the object of your faith? Will you believe what the Word of God says, yes or no? It's really pretty simple. Number three, biblical faith is not unattainable. It is not unattainable. Notice in verses 3-5, it says, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abraham offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. By it, he being dead, yet speaketh by faith. Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and it was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, guess what he had? He had this testimony that he had pleased God. But you, my friend, you can exercise faith this morning. You can exercise faith in God this morning because he changes not. The very same God that these exercise faith in is the same God that is alive and alive forevermore. He changes not. If I had any doubt about that, I'll tell you right now, I'd stop preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. If I understood you could not exercise faith in Christ, why would I even stand up and preach? But my Bible tells me that faith is the essential to be saved. It is the essential to live the Christian life. The Bible says three different passages that the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. The Bible says in Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident for that the just shall live by faith. I said in the beginning, are you going to believe the world, the flesh, and the devil, or are you going to believe the Word of God? Are you going to trust in what we have here, or are you going to listen to the lies of the devil? We have the Lord Jesus, and we have his incarnate Word. He is the express image of the invisible God. Who are you going to believe? The Bible in this passage gives a laundry list of those who by faith obtained a good report. The question is, how do we please God? How do we please God? Well, verse 6 tells us that without faith it's impossible to please him. So it must be that Enoch pleased God. How so? He believed God. He believed all that God said. He trusted in what the Lord had told him. All of these examples from cover to cover in the lives of real individuals are recorded for you and I from the beginning of the Bible all the way to the very end. And I want you to know this morning, the question that the Lord has for you is simply this: will you believe me? Will you trust me? Just like the countless others recorded in the scriptures who've gone on before us, who have a good report by faith, are you going to trust the Lord? And that brings me to the last point. Biblical faith is unconditional. It is unconditional. This is where I'd like for us to get to. Would you look at it with me one last time? Verse number 6. The Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Here's the question for every person, whether you're saved or not: are you living by faith in the Lord Jesus? Are you? Now, I know at first it may seem like a pretty simple question to answer. You may even say, Pastor James, you know, I'm here this morning. Surely that must mean something. And I would say to you, yeah, it may mean something, or it may not. See, you could come to the church house for all the wrong reasons, and in doing so, be denying your belief in the Lord Jesus. You say, what do you mean? Well, you realize this, and I've been around for a couple of minutes. Now, I know I'm young. I'm younger, and I'm just getting a little older, okay? I've been around for a few minutes, and you know this, that some folks come to the church house not because of God, but because of others. You know, some come to the church house not to meet with God, but specifically to be seen by somebody else. They say, well, they see me there, they must think I'm a good person. Some come to the church house to make others believe that they truly love God. But the love of God has never truly been shed abroad in their hearts. You say, could someone do that for 40 years? Oh, yeah. They could do it their whole life, make a will choice to deny Christ. Put on the right clothes, say all the right things, be amongst God's people, and still step into eternity without Christ. See, faith, trust, belief in God is known by the Lord. In other words, you're not fooling him. And I'll say more pointedly, it's not only known by the Lord, but it's known by you. You know whether you've trusted in him or not. See, it's not some mystical, weird thing. You either believe Christ or you don't. You either trust him or you don't. You either believe the word of God or you don't. The record of these individual lives is recorded for us as a true record of how God rates and declares these people were. And what I'm saying to you this morning is just simply this. It doesn't matter what Pastor James's assessment is of your life. What matters is what God's assessment is of your faith. You see, I might be fooled by what you do externally, but God is never fooled by man. There is no option when it comes to whether or not I can operate by faith or not. It is unconditional. Take your Bible and turn over to Daniel chapter 3 very quickly, and we're almost done. I just want to show you one precious example. In Daniel chapter number 3, what you'll see in the Old Testament is a life of unconditional faith, an example, a picture, someone who's done it before us. We find in Daniel chapter 3, once you get there, verse number 8, you just listen if you're not there. The Bible says, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews, and spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship this golden image, the false golden image. Verse 11, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Boy, that sounds lovely, doesn't it? You cast into a fiery furnace. How many would say, Pastor James, I want to volunteer for that? No. Notice, verse number 12, there are certain Jews whom thou set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, in the plural, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And let me say, just before we go on, amen and amen. That some are willing to stand and not worship the gods of this world. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Listen, when you stand for Christ, you're going to make some people mad. I'm just telling you. They brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I've set up? I'm going to give you another chance. What a kind king. I'm going to give you a second chance to worship these false gods. We're going to make it right. Now, if you be ready, verse 15, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I've made, well, but if you worship not, here's what's going to happen to you. You'll be cast in the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Wonder, Christian, put yourself there for a moment. Wonder what kind of faith you have. I wonder how you'd respond Notice, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, notice what they said. Boy, I imagine, now I don't know because the Bible doesn't say, they didn't hesitate. They didn't flinch, as we might say. They didn't even flinch. Notice what they say. We're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace. In other words, God can do it. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king, one way or another, is what they're saying. One way or another, we're gone. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship thy golden image which thou set up. I'm not going to read the rest of this. You know the rest of the story. They take those young men after they light that furnace hotter than it's ever been, to the loss of some of his chiefest soldiers, full of pride, full of arrogance against Almighty God. They take those three men and they're thrown into that furnace. I wonder, as we close, how many of us in this new year will demonstrate unwavering, unconditional faith in the Lord in spite of all the circumstances around us. And I tell you, church family, that this ministry, this local church, will only be as strong as our faith in the Lord is. You understand that biblical faith is in the unseen. Will you hear the word of God? Will you hear the word of God and believe? Secondly, biblical faith is not unusual. We have an entire Bible that records for us lives of those who put their faith in Christ. Biblical faith is not something mystical. It's taking God at his word. Then thirdly, biblical faith is not unattainable, meaning you can make a choice to trust the Lord today. Friend, I can't make that choice for you. It's up to you. I can tell you what the Bible says, but you have to make the choice. Perhaps there's a Christian here today struggling with some situation or difficulty. Can I ask you, how strong is your faith in the Lord? Perhaps there's someone here who's never trusted in Jesus as their Savior. Friend, are you going to believe the Lord today and trust in Christ today? For those of us, perhaps, who say this, I don't know the Lord, and you realize there's never been a time that you've asked Jesus to save you, in just a moment, we play this invitation, you come forward. We'll take the Bible and show you how you can trust in Christ. This day, you can be a faithful Christian as you walk out this door. You can exercise faith in the Lord. Then lastly, this is the call to the church family. Church family, faith is unconditional. It is not a matter of I trust God if. See, we like all the time to put conditions upon God. We say, Lord, I'll trust you if. No, that's not biblical faith. See, biblical faith is unconditional. It's simply this: I trust you, Lord, period. Friends, I wonder if our faith was put to the test, like we find here with these three Hebrew young men, would you be willing to be thrown in the fiery furnace because your faith is that strong? Maybe for some, we should come to the altar as a beginning point for this year and say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. However it is that the Lord has spoken to you in his word, let's have a word of prayer.